the Public News Service NOAA Newscast, March the 16th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. First to Florida, as the state unwinds from the COVID-19 public health emergency and returns its Medicaid program to pre-pandemic rules, there is a possibility older people, in addition to kids, could lose their coverage, even if they are still eligible.
Senior advocates are calling attention to Florida's MedsAd program, or Medicaid for people who are older or have disabilities, and those receiving home and community-based services through a managed care company enrolled in what's called long-term care. Miriam Harmatz with Florida Health Justice Project says she's concerned that people who've not had to renew any of their eligibility paperwork since 2020 will be lost or confused when they receive notices in the mail.
People have fallen through the cracks in the past, even though they're eligible, whether that's because they fail to get in verification that's required, or it gets lost, or there's a computer snafu, all of those things happen.
The DeSantis administration says it will return the Medicaid program to its pre-pandemic operations beginning April 1st. That includes removing about 900,000 people the state says are no longer eligible and who haven't used Medicaid-covered services. Harmatz has been trying to get the word out, hosting Q&A sessions on her website for anyone whose coverage might be affected based on age or disability. I'm Tramell Gomes.
And nurses are concerned about the closure of a Portland area birth center set to go forward on Friday. More on that from Eric Tegadoff.
The Family Birth Center at Legacy Mount Hood Medical Center is closing because the hospital says it maintains a low volume of births with an unusually high-cost care model. Nurses in the facility were in the process of unionizing. Registered nurse Alejandrina Felipe works in the center and says it provided a valuable 24-hour service to an underserved part of East Multnomah County.
Any emergencies or patient has a headache, they're worried for high blood pressure, they don't feel the baby move, the first thing their OB provider tells them is go to the nearest emergency department and they come to Mount Hood because we're here.
Felipe says nurses were offered the chance for a job in another part of the hospital, but she is taking severance. They will hold a candlelight vigil on Friday after the birth center closes. The center delivered more than 750 babies a year.
Now from the New York Times, a judge in a closely watched lawsuit seeking to overturn federal approval of a widely used abortion pill questioned lawyers publicly for the first time on Wednesday. The wide-ranging queries included questions about whether the anti-abortion plaintiffs had the legal standing to sue the government and what type of ruling the judge had the power to issue. This is Public News Service. Now to the Empire State, where New York State lawmakers are considering a bill to ensure that companies contracting with the state do not contribute to tropical deforestation.
The Tropical Deforestation Free Procurement Act holds companies contracting with New York State accountable for any deforestation they might take part in, whether that's through how their product is made or through their supply chain. A study from the University of Cambridge finds 94 companies have adopted zero deforestation commitments, although most are not put into practice. Marcus Sibley with the National Wildlife Federation says New York has worked hard to fight climate change, and this bill is a new weapon in that fight.
We're saying now we've already taken one major step. The next major step is to pay attention to how our actions are impacting abroad as well as domestically.
A previous version of this bill was introduced but faced opposition to language referring to boreal forests. The bill also creates the Supply Chain Transparency Assistance Program to aid small and medium-sized businesses as well as minority and women-owned businesses to utilize compliant supply chains. The bill is under review by the Procurement and Contracts Committee. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
President Joe Biden's proposal to increase taxes on Americans earning more than $400,000 a year to shore up Medicare is being welcomed by an unlikely constituency, the ultra-rich.
Morris Pearl with the group Patriotic Millionaire says there's more than enough money to fund Medicare. He argues the wealthiest Americans, especially those living off of their investments, can and should be paying more.
Our country can go two different directions. We can ask the financially challenged people who need Medicare to sacrifice more by having less medical care, or we can ask the ultra-rich to sacrifice more by being a little bit less ultra-rich.
Biden's proposal would keep Medicare solvent for at least the next 25 years, according to estimates by the Medicare Office of of the chief actuary. I'm Eric Galatas.
Finally, our Alex Gonzalez lets us know Nevada is among the top five states for the highest per capita rates of both fraud and identity thefts.
The FTC data shows people reported losing nearly $8.8 billion to fraud in 2022, an increase of more than 30% over the previous year. Regional Director for the Western Region FTC Office, Maricela Segura, says the top five scam types appear to be imposter scams, online shopping, sweepstakes in lotteries, investment schemes, and bogus job opportunities.
Though fraud reports overall were down from the year prior, 2021, the amount of loss is up. Part of the reason for this is that more people have reported losing money to investment scams than ever before.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.